But the crowning misfortune of Bone happened back after he got his own ranch. He had a ranch up there close to Kissimmee, and some black sheep from some northern family came down there and got a job at Bone, but he couldn't stand the malaria and the mosquitoes down there, so he soon died. And so Bone buried him on his ranch there and wrote to his family back up north. Now, maybe I better tell that in the form of a poem that was written by Miss Ruby Carson back in 1900 of Miami. And she wrote the poem. She was a school teacher, like Cousin Thelma used to be. And anyway, the poem goes, "Up at Kissimmee they tell of old Bone Mazel and the stranger who died on his hands, how he died in dry season, and that was the reason he was buried for a while on Bone's land. He was buried for a while on a palm and pine isle in a swamp under the Florida sun by the cracker who loved him and nursed him and cussed him just before his demise was begun. Just take the news calmly. Bone wrote to the family the deceased had left living back north. I can ship the remains when there comes up some rains and us Pine Island folk can go forth. So provided you ask it, I'll dig up the casket, which was done when the season brought rain and the water would float the flat bottom boat and the dead boy could travel again. On the way with the coffin, Bone smiled much too often on the boat and en route to the car. At the station, he said, gimme one fare from Kissimmee to Vermont. Ain't this corpse going far? Thus the money was spent that the family had sent, and a friend said to Bone the next day, so you ship the lad home? Bone said, no, by gum, for I thought it all over this way. As his folks are strangers to all of us rangers, why not give some poor cracker this ride? Why not make all this fuss over some poor cuss who in life hadn't wallowed in pride? So instead of the Yank with his money and his rank, who had been round and seen lots of fun, I just dug up Bill Red and I shipped him instead. Poor Bill never traveled around none."
And here's a tale about how we got Spanish moss. Would you like to hear it? All right. Well, maybe it, who knows, perhaps it was right here in this very spot. Pine trees, the hardwood trees, the Suwannee River flowing, forever flowing. The land of the red man. And then it was invaded by the Spanish explorers. And as night follows day and day follows night, one of the Spanish warriors spied a beautiful Indian maiden, the daughter of the chieftain. It was love at first sight, and they would meet on the banks of the river, night after night, until, alas, the chief himself found out about it, and he forbade his daughter ever to see the explorer again. But you know, that's not the way love is. Love will find a way. And so they disobeyed the chief, and they met again and again. And Father was very, very angry, very wroth. And he had the Spanish lover put to death, removed forever. And the maiden pined and sighed. She cried, she wept, she mourned. And one dark night, perhaps it was this very grove of beautiful pines, she came into the grove and she climbed the tallest tree. Magic took her to the topmost branches, and there she let down her long, beautiful black hair, and she plaited it into a long rope, and she twisted that rope over a limb and around her neck, and she hanged herself there. And the wind and the sun and the rain consumed her body. It disappeared, but her hair remained, and the sun bleached it, and the wind scattered it from tree to tree. But with it remained her sobs and cries. So at night, when all is still, if you listen, you can hear the sighs of the beautiful, heartbroken Indian maid. And by day today, you can see her hair growing, scattering from tree to tree. And it's ever the eternal reminder of how love is, and how tragic, and how wonderful, and how eternal. That's the story of how we got the Spanish moss.
When we go down the street with our truck selling vegetables and whatnot, the firemen got together there in St. Pete and gave us a great big old bill, you know, and we just ring that thing going, and we go down the street and say, "It hadn't been no vegetable man, y'all. Oh, I got the vegetable. Oh, I got the vegetable. What you got today, vegetable man? We got peas, beans, greens, apples, cucumbers, squash, banana, corn on the cob, a white potato, sweet potatoes, agitators, dictators, all kind of taters, tater tots, tater pies, everything. It hadn't been no vegetable man, y'all. All we got, wow, watermelon, red to the rind, sweet as honey. Come on, get some of mine, don't try nothing funny. Hear that mean old vegetable man, y'all."
Tommy Dobbs of Palatka.
Thank you. I remember when I was a little shaver, I used to go to grandma's and grandpa's and had a lot of fun out there in the backyard wandering around, and they had a great big white house with a lot of citrus trees off to the side, and around the back was a nice grape arbor with a smokehouse, and beyond that was a wood yard. And I remember out in the backyard the hens used to scratch around the dirt. It'd be a hot day like today, and they'd want to cool off and find them a nice shady spot underneath the grape arbor, and they'd wiggle down in that sand and fluff up the feathers and run some of that cool sand all down through the feathers, and they'd be sitting there squawking to each other, and then out along through the chicken house there'd come a hen proud to have laid an egg, and she'll come out of that hen house. Now there's always some proud mother showing off the biddies around. Beyond the chicken yard, there was a hog pen. Hogs are real energetic in this kind of weather, and I always like to pick up a stick and walk up to the board fence and poke it in there between the holes and give the old hog a little nudge. And he wouldn't say too much. He'd know somebody was there, but it wasn't much of an effort to make him do anything. Now I like to bam down on top of that tin roof he had laying on across the little pen to shade him from the hot sun. Walk up there and just give it a swat, bam! He'd come out of there. Now on beyond the hog pen there was a dog pen, and Grandpa's a big deer hunter. He had at times as many as 15 or 20 dogs. And he had a dog for just about any kind of thing you can imagine. Hog dogs, cow dogs, bird dogs. But his favorite were deer dogs. And I remember one old hound who had seen many a race, and he was getting pretty old, and his name was Lightning, but he wasn't much like Lightning though. and he had a real easy, nice voice to him. On down the field, they always kept cows. Calves. And the bulls, the king of the pasture. Now off in the shade, the meanest, well, not the meanest, but one of the orneriest critters and one of the most hard-working critters ever walked on four legs, Uncle Ed's pride and joy, Rhody the mule. Rhody was quite something. Now off to the side of the pasture, there was a clearing, and along the clearing, you probably see and hear some bob white quail. On down beyond the pasture, there was a lot of oak trees leading down to the pond. And in the oak trees, you could see and hear the gray squirrel. Now on the pond, there was a lot of ducks. Frogs of all kinds late in the evening. Ribbit, ribbit. How late in the evening and long about dark, one of my most favorite places was to sit on the front porch. And I guess that's becoming a disappearing part of Americana nowadays. You don't see new houses with front porches anymore. It's becoming a thing of the past. But I like to remember those nice times on the front porch and just casual conversation just drifts away to silence, and then the sounds of the night take over. There's crickets of all kinds. Down in the river swamp, you can hear the owls start communicating with each other. If you're lucky enough, you be down in the river swamp, you might hear a wildcat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be back at the Polk Festival again. I always look forward to this. And as Cousin Thelma said a while ago and mentioned about the Florida Crackers, I'd like to add just a little bit to that, if I may. We get our name, the Florida Crackers, from the old original cowboys here years ago. How many Florida Crackers we got out there? Let's see, Florida Crackers. How about Georgia Crackers? Well, it's all the same thing. That's the way they get their names, is the Crackers, because when the cowboys would come in back in the olden days when they would drive their cattle in through the woods and the cat claw briars and everything else, and you Florida Crackers know what I'm talking about when I say cat claw briars and scrub oaks, and they could hear those whips a-popping before they ever saw the cows coming in, and they would say, the crackers are coming. That meant that they were bringing the cows in. So that's really where we got our name, is the Florida Crackers and the Georgia Crackers, because they could hear those whips cracking. So I'm going to give you a little demonstration now about the bull whips and the popping of the bull whips. I was taught this at an early age by my father, Judge Deacle, and we kind of carry this thing on. It's more or less of a lost art. But I'm going to give you a little demonstration now of the manipulation of the bull whips.
I would like to close this evening with a hymn of praise to one of the most seldom celebrated ethnic groups of American heroes, men for whom the noble concepts of free determination, personal integrity, and Yankee ingenuity are as natural as breathing. I'm speaking, of course, of the commercial fishermen of Big Lake George. Now, Big Lake George is right down the Ocklawaha River from Eureka. It's near Palatka. What's a big lake? 16 miles long. Early of an a.m., when the pellucid atmosphere about the perimeter of the lake is the color of gunmetal gray spangled with burgundy wine, and gossamer streamers of sunlight shaft skyward through the palmetto and cypress fringe, and the noble blue heron and the sassy anhinga leave the sanctity of the rookery in search of sustenance. You can hear these waterborne good old boys whipping over the surface of the lake, each one sitting tall in his 40-year-old flat-bottom paint-flake plywood fishing skiff with a bow piled high with crab traps, trot lines, and fish weirs. He's got a Winchester rifle up there. If he catches some pilgrim rustling one of his crab traps, he'll perforate his sorry carcass and sink him in the sanctified waters of the Mystic Lake, for he flat do not care. I can see him now. Sitting tall at the helm of his noble craft, his sinewy hand wrapped about the throttle of 175 horsepower Mercury outboard motor with a Quicksilver lower unit, whipping through the Florida atmosphere 83 miles an hour, stirring a paper plate full of pot liquor and grits nailed down to the seat at his left side, his mouth a thin white line, flared nostrils. He says, "Shh." He don't care. Nah, I used to think these boys caught lots of crabs and fish to buy a big old kicker like that. One time I'm hanging around the Gulf oil pumps down in Georgetown, one of these commercial fishermen whips in off the tarmac pulling his boat behind his Dodge Club Cab pickup truck. You know the Dodge Club Cab? That's a stretch version of your common pickup, so you can carry two gun racks. He opened the door. He eased out in my direction, a symphony in pastoral grace. I was up for the occasion. I had on my tight Levi's, my Johnny Cash boots, and my Bluebell Wrangler shirt with the pearl snap buttons. As he came toward me, I sized him up. I said, "Duh." "Howdy." He looked me over. He said, "Duh." I said, "Duh, buddy, buddy. You must catch right smarter crabs and fish to buy a big old kicker like that." He said, "Duh." "Pilgrim, I didn't get that outboard motor catching no crabs." And that's where the second part of the tale commences. Winding out of the Georgia Piedmont like a malignant magic carpet of concrete is Interstate 95. It bores relentlessly southward, splits the sovereign beauty of Florida asunder, picks up Interstate 4 at Daytona, sweeps over toward Tampa past the greatest commercial concession ever articulated in the entrepreneurial visionings of modern mankind, a veritable monument to the legacy of Mickey Mouse. Disney World, Disney World, a $500 million jukebox in the honky-tonk of life. Disney World. And down this road every day you've got 35,000 native sons of the proud American soil coming to reaffirm their frontier heritage according to the doctrine of Donald Duck. And here comes the average American tourist in his Winnebago camper. He's got two Yamaha trail bikes on the front bumper. Got an old town canoe tied to the left side. Got four snowmobiles on the roof. Got a pair of L.L. Bean polypropylene snowshoes crossed on the back door. He's towing a Cobia fiberglass family runabout with an Evinrude V4 Starflight outboard motor. He's got Savage Anschutz 22 rifles, Shakespeare fishing rods, Zebco spinning reels, Uncle Josh pork rind. He's got Coleman double mantle lanterns, sleeping bags, pup tents, pack frames inside the trailer. He's got Monongahela upholstery, shag carpet, Marantz FM tuners, Panasonic television sets, and 2.6 children. And he is sitting tall in the cab of his motorized Conestoga, wearing a Pendleton Mackinaw and smoking a Marsh Wheeling cheroot. He looks down at his little bride. He says, "Mama, we are the great, the chosen cosmic consumers. Baby, we're packing everything we'll ever need right here on our backs." They get down to the bridge at Lake Monroe, and they run into a 47-mile traffic jam backed all the way up from the front gate of Disney World. And a solid phalanx of fool swelters in the Florida sunlight, and a malodorous mantle of carbon monoxide diffuses itself abroad over the spine of the land of flowers. But this man is up for any contingency. He say, Mama, let us take advantage of this cruel hiatus and go fishing. So they put the boat in the river and they set out trolling with 2,600 other pilgrims. Walk across the water on outboard motors. Ain't nobody caught a fish in that part of the river for 20 years. Too many pilgrims. Game Commission come down there once a year with a truck with a stainless steel tank on the back full of baby brim, shell crackers, perch, and bass. They commit those baby fish to the bosom of the waters to live and proliferate. 5 minutes later, every mother's son of those fish is back up on the interstate hitchhiking back to Lake County where they can survive in the water. The last man to catch a fish in that part of the river was a key punch operator from Valdosta. Came down there with a fishing plug he made himself out of stainless steel. It was an exact replica of one of those tanks the baby fish grew up in. He took home a boatload of fish. They troll down the river. They get down there to the big water. Here's one of these commercial fishermen out there in his hook-nosed skipjack with his high-rise Merc looming up. He got his foot up on the gunnel. Got his transistor radio hooked onto a rusty nail, tuned into WCKY, listening to Merle Haggard saying, it's not love, but it's not bad. And he is whittling out a minute, functional wood chain out of an Ohio blue tip match with a Barlow knife. He looks up and he sees all the pilgrims coming. He says, the next thing you know, one of the tourists insults the appearance of the fisherman's boat. And the next thing he knows, he is racing that good old boy, pink slip for pink slip. Title for title, boat for boat. The sun goes down on beautiful Lake George. The noble blue heron and the sassy anhinga return satiated to the sanctity of the rookery. And the commercial fishing fleet returns to the docks at Georgetown. Each one of those good old boys packing 2.5 pounds of perch fillet, 4.5 pair of frog legs, and towing 26 Cobia family runabouts. Bright and early Monday morning, he trades all that merchandise in at the Evan Rude dealer in Palatka. Takes the cash down to the bank, renders it into traveler's checks, sends 85% of the proceeds back to Pascagoula to cover alimony arrearage, and buys Mercury outboard motors with the rest. So I'd like to dedicate this whole thing to you and all your friends, to Cousin Thelma and Barbara and Will McLean and Don Grooms and everybody else. But most especially to the commercial fishermen of Big Lake George.
Tell me, honey, tell me, please. Is my lover hard to please? I'm getting groggy in my knees. Baby, it must be love. Said a funny feeling oozing up and down my spine to my head like cherry wine. Make me think that the world's all mine. Baby, it must be love. Now I hear them church bells ringing. I see them visions clear. I hear them birdies singing. Good word, there ain't no birdies near. Tell me, honey, tell me, please. Is my lover said a hard to please? You know I'm getting groggy in my knees. Baby, it must be love. Now I don't like your little suits and ties because they never seem to harmonize. Said that they don't match your big brown eyes. Baby, it must be love. I hear them church bells ringing. See visions clear. I hear them birdies singing. Good word there ain't no. Tell me, honey, tell me, please. Is my lover hard to please? Getting groggy, sitting in my knees. Baby, it must be love. Maybe a rich man, a poor man, a beggar man, king. Make you give up everything. Said it every time you feel that sting. Baby, it must be love. Tell me, honey, tell me, please. It is my lover hard to please. You know I'm getting groggy in my knees. Baby, it must be love. Well, it made a preacher put his Bible down. Made a little rabbit want to hug a hound. You know, it made King Edward give up his crown. Baby, it must, you know that baby, it must be love. Thank you.
We're going to hype them up a little bit. Snoop John B. The sloop John B, my grandfather and me, round that old town we gonna roam, all drinking all night, but into a fight. I feel so break up, I wanna go home. So hoist up the John B sail, see all the mizzen sail. Send for the captain, sure, let me go home. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. I feel so break up. I wanna go home. Captain in the make a drum, through with the people's round. Send for the policeman to take him away. They took him to jail.
Took him to jail.
Without any bail.
Without any bail.
I feel so break up. I wanna go home. So I up the John B. Sail. See how the mizzen set. Send for the captain, sure, let me go home. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. I feel so break up. I wanna go home. First mate, he got drunk, broke into the people's trunk. Sent for the policeman to take him away. They took him to jail.
Took him to jail.
Without any bail.
Without any bail.
I feel so break up. I wanna go home.
Send your captain show.
I wanna go home. I feel so break up. I wanna go home. Sailboat go by sail, ice up the John B. sail and let me go home. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. I feel so break up. I wanna go home. So ice up the John B. sail, see how the mizzen set. send for the captain sure and let me go home. I wanna go home, please let me go home. I feel so burnt out, I wanna go home. I feel so burnt out, I wanna go home. I feel so burnt out, I wanna go home.
Thank you.
Roll on, manatee. Take my soul with you out to sea. You can see them near the shore. They keep our rivers clean. They're guardians of our water, this creature so serene. Along the shallow shorelines and to the crystal springs, they surely must be numbered among our precious things. Spanish soldiers in the sun, roll on, manatee. Life and death flow on as one, roll on, manatee. They were here before Menendez built old St. Augustine, long before the Indian nations reigned supreme. Sailors thought them mermaids as they watched them nurse their young. We must preserve this creature. Their song is almost sung. Mm-hmm. I'm standing in the fading light, roll on, manatee. Watching their nocturnal flight, roll on, manatee. You can see them near the shore. They keep our rivers clean. They're guardians of our water, this mammal so serene. Protect our estuaries, help save the manatee. And like the sacred mangrove, we'll hand in hand walk to the sea. Roll on, roll on, roll on.
Thank you.
I cannot feel at home
in this world,
my Lord.
home,
not my home.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord, what shall I
be?
The angel,
welcome
me
to heaven,
to heaven,
my Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
And I cannot
feel at home.
Can't feel at home.
I cannot feel at home.
I'm passing through.
I cannot feel at home.
Sometime I'm talked about.
I cannot feel at home.
But I'm a stranger.
I cannot feel at home.
I know one of these old days.
I cannot feel at home.
I got to quit this walk of life.
I cannot feel at home.
Oh, Lord. In this world,
in
the
world, I'm gonna try an old tune called A Billion Low Ground.
Big Alligator, the mysterious. Big Alligator, he's amphibious. Big Alligator, he is dangerous. But with Big Alligator, you can be prosperous. I was raised in the swamp by my old grandpa. We ate turtle meat, a fish called gar. He told me stories about rabbits and bears, but most of all, he told me to beware, but halpati chobi nakshu nishkiga, halpati chobi okikiwa, halpati chobi hino kajijiwa, halpati chobi hima shajiwa. As days of summers grew longer and hot, Grandpa took me on my first gator hunt. We pushed through sawgrass and willow slough with a yellow-eyed dog in a dugout canoe. The dog started sniffing something in the air. Grandpa said, must be gator over there. Better grab your knife and some rope. And remember what I told you when you was a boy about halpati chobi nakshu nishkika, halpati chobi okikiwa, halpati chobi hino kajijiwa, halpati chobi hima shajiwa. At the age of 12, I was sure of myself. I could catch alligators without any help. But my dog didn't know what my grandpa said. He jumped in the water by the gator's head. Halpati chobi didn't even pause. My dog disappeared in the gator's jaws. I can still hear my grandpa saying, Halpati chobi nakshu nichkiga, Halpati chobi okikenyiwa, Halpati chobi hino kansijiwa, Halpati chobi hima shajiwa. Oh, Halpati chobi nakshu nichkiga, halpate chobi oke ke ye pam halpate chobi hinno kaje jiwa halpate chobi hin maja jiwa. Many years later, I remember that day, how my dog was killed by the big bull gator. Scars and pain is a part of my life. I learned to live and I learned to survive. Well, I'll put the joby knock and itch kick out. I'll put the joby okay, okay, well. I'll put the joby in no god, did you well. I'll put the joby in my daddy, well. Oh, I'll put the joby knock and itch kick out. I'll put the joby okay, okay, well. I'll put the joby in no god, did you well. I'll put the joby in my daddy, well. Everybody now.
It's just a baby in the cradle when it all began. Singers, pickers, and old-time folks with roots all over the land. From a wooden stage, large oak trees above, old-time music blending with the Suwannee River. So here I sing to you all of my old friends, the strength in knowing what we share brings us together again. Here I sing to you all of my good friends, thank you for sharing of you that is now a part of me. Nothing ever stays the same. People from all over came, singers, pickers, dancers, and old-time folks with roots all over. All around, tall tales, water witching and leaf cracking, blending with the Suwannee sound. So here I sing to you all of my old friends, the strength in knowing what we share brings us together again. Here I sing to you all of my good friends, thank you for sharing a part of you that is now a part of me. Florida sand, that one man, his gentle songs we all know, that lady who's everyone and whose stories to us belong. The Seminole in so many ways, their legends made to us known. The children of children who have grown with children of their own. And so time passes by, many old friends are gone, singers, dancers, pickers, and old-time folks moving all over the land. From a brickstone stage, change is all about, but the treasure is there for all to share in any Florida town. Strength in knowing what we share brings us together again. here I sing to you. All of my good friends, thank you for sharing a part.